Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way.
Hello, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us today. Good to be here with you today, Adi.
My favorite podcast host.
Okay, guys, we're going to do another nutrition show today. And we thought that one of the most impactful things would be to talk about how to eat while you travel. It's one thing to learn how to eat differently and maintain a new diet in a controlled environment in your own home, in your own environment where everything is way more controlled, where you're more comfortable, where all of your habits have been instilled. But it's an entirely different thing to do that on the road. And correct me if I'm wrong, but that's one of the biggest things that our clients struggle with when they're trying to stick to their diet.
Travel, eating out at restaurants. Mm-hmm. Those are obstacles anyone who's trying to dial their nutrition in mm-hmm. is going to face.
You know, I've been married to you for
almost 3 years.
Almost 3 years. I've known you for four years. So I've had all of these nutrition downloads for years now, and I have far from mastered the skill of eating
but
while traveling.
But you're so much better.
So much better. I have so many more skills. But it's still something that I definitely struggle with. I can be really dialed in when I can, cook all of my own food. I feel really comfortable weighing and measuring versus, being out at a restaurant or traveling. Yeah. I don't feel as comfortable. And I'm usually way more successful when I'm at home. So let's talk about some of the biggest lessons that you've learned in your experience and some of the things that you use with your clients. You just made 3 consecutive Instagram posts recently about some big time travel tips. So I was thinking we could talk about those.
Yeah. To start it off, it's like when you're home and in your routine, like willpower and routine are like peanut butter and jelly. They go so well together because willpower gets to like take a break. They don't have to work. They can just like chill because everything is automatic. It's second nature. Willpower can just like, head to the beach for a vacation versus come on travel with you. That's like – that's there on the job. Mm-hmm. So tip number one is to – understand that the expectation of success while you're at home cannot be the same while you're on vacation. It is unrealistic to expect that progress for you is going to look the same while you're on vacation as it will at home. And if you have that expectation that you want to maintain the exact same level of progress as you would in your routine, you are setting yourself up to fail because it's just not almost impossible for anybody. I recently had a conversation this past Sunday with a client who she spends like 40% of her time traveling. And she said something along the lines of, it really frustrates me when I travel and I like take steps back in my progress or I have to like recover when I get back. And we've been working on what I'm about to talk about right now, which is like, what does success look like while you travel? And I just posed some questions to her and I just said, hey, think about the past, because we've done I've been coaching her through 3 travels, like 3 trips, I guess.
Trips.
And I said, think about the last 3 trips and compare them to the 3 trips before that. And ooh. I just want to ask you, like, did you really regress in your progress? Like, is that true? And take the scale and the way that you look in the mirror out of it, because those are only 2 markers of progress. Is it true that you actually didn't make any progress? Because if you look at those 3 trips compared to the 3 trips before that, her decisions were better. She was more conscious of her food choices. She exercised more. Her stress and anxiety around food was better. Sure, she made mistakes and she did things that she didn't want to do. But the fact that she even noticed that she was doing those things instead of just feeling guilty about them, that is progress. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the first thing to do is like, what does success look like for you when you're on the plane home or you're driving home from this trip? It could be a work trip, personal trip, whatever it is. And it's success could look different for all these different kinds of trips. For me, for a work trip, I'll probably have stricter rules for myself than if I was going leisurely with my friends.
And higher expectations.
Right. I'd have higher expectations for myself just because, I don't know, it's just not worth it to me to like – it's not really an indulgence when I'm on a work trip necessarily.
And you're just so skilled at maintaining that. For me on a work trip, it's not as – like I'm not as confident in my ability to stay consistent. So for me, a huge success is just – put everything in MyFitnessPal. Don't worry about hitting as close to macros or
eating any specific amount or what type.
Exactly. If I can simply put everything in MyFitnessPal, I know that I'm going to make better decisions. I might overeat or undereat a little bit. Usually overeat a little bit. Let's be real. But I make much better decisions and I feel like I'm still maintaining some sense of control.
And if you define that ahead of time, like, what does success look like for me on this trip? So I want you to like – this sometimes can be like difficult for some people. But visualize yourself coming back from this trip and then looking back – like imagine you are in that moment. Like I'm coming back from this trip. I'm on that plane. I'm thinking about the trip. What – when I look back on it, what would make me feel proud? Like what would make me feel like – proud of myself or that I maintain some level of making progress. Like I'm still making progress in some capacity. And progress, I think, is just this trip to be slightly better than the trip before. It doesn't have to be the same as it is at home because that's unrealistic. It's just slightly better than the trip before. So for me, that like I could rattle off like 20 million options of like what success could look like. It could look like just putting your food in MyFitnessPal. It could look like mapping out before you go on your trip which meals are definitely going to be outside of your control. So generally on a work trip for us, it would almost always be dinner. Like dinner is going to be like with other people. We're going to be less in control of our food choices. It might be a fixed menu. But breakfast and lunch, we can probably be more in control. Mm-hmm. It could be packing certain types of foods or snacks to have with me so that I know what options I have available and I won't just go for the convenient thing. It could be exercising every day, regardless of if it's in my hotel room or it's at the hotel gym. Like pick one or two things. One or two that you don't already do. And those things, if done, make you a success at the end of the trip. So that means pressure is off, you know? So if mine are, I'm going to exercise for at least 20 minutes each day, let's say, even if it's just in my hotel room, or maybe it's like two of the 5 days that I'm away. If on the other 3 days I don't exercise at all, I'm not failing. I didn't fail. That's not part of my definition of success. It's like making failure less – the opportunity to fail less likely because when you fail, that's when the moments come. It's like, screw it. I already failed. I might as well go all the way. Mm-hmm. Like then it starts – you start spiraling where it's like, oh, I already ate a brownie. I might as well have five.
So I didn't quite pick up what you were saying. So if you only do two out of five but you said you were going to do 20 every day, how is that not
fair? No, I switched it. Oh, okay. So instead of like – maybe you want to do 20 minutes of exercise every day, but maybe that's too much. Like maybe out of the 5 days you're away, you set your successes. I'm only going to work out 2 days.
Gotcha.
So maybe that's your definition of success. It could be 20 minutes every day or it could be two of the 5 days. It could be wake up in the morning and not snooze the alarm. Like that could be success for you. Mm-hmm. Go to bed at a specific time. I mean, it could be anything. Just defining what it is ahead of time so that you're not expecting – because you're not going to stay to the same standard you are at home. So if you don't define success ahead of time, you could find failure in a lot of places.
Right. If you don't spend the time to really think about how it's different than at home, then your default is going to be to expect yourself to eat just like you're at home, which doesn't often happen.
Right. Exactly.
So number two is creating a plan and not relying on willpower. What is that one about?
So creating a plan helps you make a lot of decisions ahead of time. And most of us in the moment, if we have to make a decision in the moment, especially, so you're out of home, you're in a new place, you don't know where restaurants are, you don't know most times you don't know where you're going for the day. Your schedule is different. You maybe have to rent a car. It's not your own car. There's so much that's different, which requires so many more decisions to be made in a day versus at home. A lot of your decisions are made for you. You know where you're going to sleep. You know which bathroom you're going to go to. You know where your food is. You know where your job is. Like, you know all of those things ahead of time. So when you're away, all people, the more decisions you make, the worse the quality of your decision making goes throughout the day. So because you already know you're going to make so many decisions, making those decisions ahead of time when you have the space avoids these scenarios. I am at dinner and I have to decide what I'm going to eat, and I haven't defined at all like any boundaries for myself around food. It's just like now I'm like, oh my God, what are the people at the table thinking about the choices that I'm making? They're ordering pizza. Will they think it's weird if I don't order pizza? Should I order pizza? But I already had French toast this morning for breakfast. And
I really want pizza.
Yeah, and I really do want pizza. Like, then you're just like, screw it, I'm going to have the pizza. So there's so many things happening that are against you. They're working against you. There's so many things that are working against you. So making any type of plan ahead of time, and that could be, for me, I often will hit up a grocery store the second I land when I travel, or I'll order Instacart to the hotel that I'm staying, or I pack some certain foods with me that really help.
The biggest one for me has been if I know where we're going to eat at dinner, because probably 75%+ of my mistakes happened at dinner when I've made all the decisions, I've used up all my willpower for that day. And so if I know where we're going to eat for dinner, I'll look at the menu ahead of time and decide firmly what I'm going to order. Because if I wait until I get there, I feel a little bit overwhelmed. I feel envious of other people that aren't being strict with their diet. Totally. And so I end up saying, screw it.
And something that I've seen you do too is if you make that decision ahead of time, it informs your other choices for breakfast and lunch. So when we're going into lunch, if you know that you're going to have, you know, mashed potatoes and a ribeye, and you've already like planned what you're going to eat, you probably would make different choices at lunch because you know you're like, oh, I'm not missing out right now. I'm so pumped for what I'm going to eat for dinner, or there's just less leeway.
And then the third one, what is the third one?
The third one is to maintain as much of your home habits and rituals as you possibly can when you're away. So when you're away, not only do you have to make more decisions, but things like feel more chaotic, you know, like everything is just kind of rocked and your body is kind of like, ah, like what's going on? Like maybe there's a time change or there's like, it feels more chaotic. So stress is higher, whether it's conscious or unconscious. Anxiety could be a little bit higher. There's a little bit more of like you're more alert, which is energy. Being more alert, you can't be as relaxed as you are at home. So maintaining as many little habits and rituals that are comforting away as you have at home do more than I think people realize.
Like totally.
For us, like we travel with the same coffee mug every time. It's like a travel coffee mug. And I don't know, something, maybe it's like, maybe I notice it or maybe I don't, but something about like I wake up in the morning and I know that I have this coffee that's going to maintain the heat of my coffee for this amount of time. And it's what I do every single morning at home. And putting coffee in that mug in the morning, it's like comforting. It's like a layer of like, I feel safe. I feel more secure. And it helps ease a lot of the stress and difference that's happening.
Yeah. So we went through a really long period of time last year where we traveled less, but then now we're traveling a shitload again. And I really feel like I've transformed the way that I travel, and I feel so much better when I travel. And it is 100% because I maintain rituals, and really around the morning ritual. I even started bringing the same incense that we use for so meditation and yoga. So not only do we have the same habits, but we do them in the same sorts of ways, right? We maintain that ritual, which brings us back to those feelings that we have at home. When we do those things, we're able to go through the day with more confidence and more security.
Totally. I think sometimes when we go on vacation, we think we're going to be like this new person sometimes too. It even is evident when you pack for vacation. A lot of people will go for 3 days and they'll take a checked luggage. Like, you and I almost never travel with a checked luggage. And I think that's even a thing that helps us feel safer. There's less options for what to wear, and we wear the same clothes pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know about safer, but it definitely takes less willpower.
Right.
Because we know what we're wearing when we're wearing it.
Exactly. So we'll like lay it out ahead of time, and there's just like less, we don't have to go to the airport much earlier and like be extra prepared that way. So it just makes things a little bit easier. But maintaining as much of the same as you can while you're traveling as you do at home, and still being able to enjoy your vacation, like mm-hmm. still depending on what the vacation is, like still having spontaneity and still having fun, but keeping some level of being grounded in who you are. It's somebody, I forget who this was. I think Sebastian Knight, a friend of ours, told us this quote, but he got it from somewhere else. And he talked about packing your identity with you. Like, don't just pack your clothes and your things. Pack your identity too. Like, you don't become a different person. So pack, if you're someone who exercises consistently, pack that person too. If you're someone who cares about what you eat, bring that person along with you. Don't leave them at home. So bring as much of the home you as you can as possible with you on vacation.
Such a powerful frame.
And some people even like bring their pillow, you know, like that, like that can make sure they're going to get a good sleep. If like a hotel pillow could rock your world, mm-hmm. you know, like it could give you a stiff neck and like really make that an issue for you. I've known people to do lots of things like mm-hmm. that.
So guys, we know that travel can be one of the biggest things that derails people. So hopefully these three can really help you progress in this area. So number one is change your expectations and decide what success looks like when you travel. Mm-hmm. Number two is create a plan and don't just rely on your willpower to prop you up. And number three is, I totally forgot and lost my train of thought. Oh, maybe you could help me.
Keep
your habits and rituals.
Yeah, keep your habits and rituals on your trip as much as possible as compared to that they are at home.
All right, guys. See you later.
Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram at workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.